and as per the suggestion by the World Health Organization, they do so slowly, others don't. So, Makhbuz, good to have you back on the show, sir.
Good to be with you, Kanya.
So tell us a little bit about these lockdowns that we need to be mindful of.
Yes, Kira, as you're saying, I mean, essentially, these lockdowns have been in place throughout the world since the spread of the coronavirus. And this week, actually, we'll see the largest wave of the other way around, relaxing of these lockdowns. But though many of these lockdowns are being lifted with a lot of precautions in place, as well as, for example, what's happening in South Africa. So, for example, in India, the world's fourth biggest rail network will resume operating passenger trains. So 200 will be running across the country. And we are already seeing large crowds throughout India's rail network today, as our newsroom is reporting. And for example, in Russia, most parks and green spaces will be open in Moscow from today, which have been closed for quite a few weeks now. And people can exercise freely during the morning, very early in the morning, actually, from 5 in the morning to 9. And that's the cutoff. And they can go for walks, but limited to 3 times a week. And there will be a timetable for each district and building as well, which will be published on the mayor's website. So there's a lot of caveats to these restrictions being lifted throughout the world. But this week is seeing a major wave because I think the last 2 months or more has seen a lockdown throughout the world in different countries. For example, I mean, just coming back to Russia, I mean, non-food shops and others with basic services like dry cleaning, repair shops, that basically don't require lengthy contact, they will also be reopened. So this is, but again, just as a caution, this is like for 2 weeks, and they will then assess the situation. And just going back straight to the other part of the world, Australia, New South Wales will scrap all travel restrictions from today. So this week, we will be keeping an eye on what happens there. And it's encouraging tourism from both outside and inside the state. If you recall, Australia had also stopped flights from anywhere. Yes. In the world, so that'll be interesting to see.
That certainly will be. Now, after Beijing passed a new security law, this is for Hong Kong, this week could see more angry reactions in the Chinese territory. And it's also a week that will see the 31st anniversary of the Tiananmen Square crackdown, and we'll never forget that.
Indeed. Now, Kira, as you pointed out, the Tiananmen Square crackdown, which is symbolizes one of the biggest responses that the Chinese state had to respond to in its history, is something that is commemorated not only in Hong Kong and Macau. These are the only two Chinese territories, as the arrangement goes, are still allowed to have some of these commemorations. In mainland China, they're not allowed. So with the new security law that is being passed, it is an interesting scenario that we'll be watching this week, whether this 31st anniversary of the Tiananmen Square crackdown will happen at all in Hong Kong. And just this is a story that has been moving quite fast, frankly. I mean, China is facing mounting criticism over the planned security law for Hong Kong, which would make it actually a crime to undermine Beijing's authority, as the protesters, pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong, have been doing, according to Beijing. So interesting to note is that if your listeners will recall that Hong Kong was handed back to China from British control in 1997, but there were some unique arrangements, and the former British colony enjoys some freedoms not seen in mainland China. And these are sort of set out in a mini constitution called the Basic Law. And the reaction that's come throughout the world since this new security law has been announced is quite forceful. I mean, President Donald Trump has announced that he'll start to end these preferential treatments that Hong Kong gets in trade and travel. And he's also described Chinese government's moves to introduce the measure in Hong Kong as a tragedy.
It was always going to be that, wasn't it? People rise up. We know China's not known for its restraint. I mean, of late it has been. They probably could have cracked down a lot more ferociously. But because of the position they find themselves in internationally, because they've become more of an international animal from a business perspective, they have been muted to a degree. But it was always going to be mainland China at their behest whether or not we see the type of liberties continue in Hong Kong.
Yes, interesting you point that out, because in a way, Hong Kong is a case where China is trying to balance the act between showing to the world that it can be a part of the international stage despite being a communist nation, allegations of human rights, because Hong Kong is relatively more open. There are more freedoms that citizens enjoy there. But at the same time, as you rightly point out, that China's system in the mainland in the end is often coming in contradiction with whatever is happening in Hong Kong. And let's not forget, Hong Kong is one of the world's largest financial centers, and it is a major trading area. So China also does not want to lose out on that specific area of Hong Kong's advantage. So we have this peculiar balancing act that Beijing is trying to do, where it is trying to show that it is liberal enough with Hong Kong, but it doesn't want to give the wrong signal domestically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a big part of their economy relates to international trade. And if one just thinks back a good couple of years, good couple of decades, their main factor of production, their primary factor of production, was labor, cheap labor, which was how they got people to spend money there, which is why the Apples and everybody moved over there. And as they did that, they started developing a very healthy factor called capital, which they've now deployed and used effectively in things like AI. So they've worked pretty hard to get the economy where it is, and they are very reliant on international trade. So, yeah, it's going to be the communist principles versus keeping the respirator on at the moment in times of COVID-19, if I can use that analogy. It's a difficult one for them, I can imagine, as well.
It is. It is. Well, and interestingly, as I was saying, that China has replaced according to Mr. Trump, the U.S. president is saying that China has replaced the one country, two system policy, which was touted for a long time. And he went on to say that this is a tragedy for Hong Kong. China, to his view, use Mr. Trump's words, has smothered Hong Kong's freedom, quite ironically, considering what's happening in the U.S., for example. But yes, you're right.
Yeah, now Mr. Trump probably believes that Harry Potter is an actual person as well. Anyway, Mahfouz, great having you on the show, sir. You must have a good one, and I look forward to our next catch-up.
You too.
That is Mahfouz Sadiq. He is with the BBC.